Okay, Mr. Chair, I'm Brad Holden. I'll bring the meeting to order. We have a 9:30 agenda item, and it's a meeting with DSC for general business. And so I'll hand it over to staff to start. I know that I have a issue of likely or pending litigation that we will, after the public business, need to go into a brief session for executive session considering a land matter. Okay, with that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, happy to be here. Josh is going to provide a statistical update for the month, for the previous month. And then a couple of minor pieces of business, we'll get through this pretty quick.
Okay, great, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Chairman.
Thank you.
Commissioner Brooks.
Thank you.
Commissioner Bailey. Great. I have another handout, I apologize. Can you take one and pass it down?
All right. Oh man, it has the original area of impacts.
We'll get that changed when it's time to get
those,
that changed.
Those are going away, case by case.
It's just a minor glitch. As I do every month, I'd like to just get you acclimated with where we're at from a numbers and dollars and cents perspective. As you see there, we've got 10 area of impact applications in, and I think that lines up with the number of cities we have. I also would note entitlement verification requests. Since we didn't have that last year, we've had 36 this year, and that may correlate directly to future administrative land splits.
So can I correct you technically?
Technically you can.
Sorry. Homedale is not considered a city within Canyon County, so they make up one of the 10.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Just trying to keep you honest.
Except not anymore.
They did have an area of impact that was that was agreed. So as far as the city, they weren't in Canyon County like the other 9.
Okay.
Just, I don't want the public to be confused.
Okay.
Which we've ran into a boatload of misconception and not understanding. And I've had a couple of communications why Homedale was even considered in it. And it was like, because they did have an area of impact. And now with the new rules, they don't meet that standard.
Okay.
So.
Well, we put one in to track that process. How about that?
There you go. We definitely did. They were one of the applicants.
So I'm going to double back to Administrative Land Division. We're still, we're ahead, $23,000 from last year on those. So it could just be due to the fee increase, but you can see on there, those are still going pretty strong. And I know we're considering ordinance changes on there. Scrolling down from a fee perspective, we're about $123,000, roughly, $1,000 ahead on planning applications. Getting ahead there to the next item on page 9 there. New single family, were 65 residences ahead of last year. So growth is still going up for Canyon County. Floodplain development, a little less than last year. I don't know if that's good or bad. I think that's a matter of opinion.
True story.
Yeah. So building, which is one of our major revenue sources, going to page 13 now, sideways. We're at about 321,000 over last year. And you'll notice on there, before I get to the summary page on code enforcement violations, I want to create this map I just gave you, and I need to email this to Jenna, so apologize about that. I just finished this up this morning. IT was able to create a better tracking mechanism for code enforcement. It was open cases by officer.
Okay.
So what I was able to say here, these are things that are actively being worked on. The chart I usually put in your monthly report, that's year to date. The issue with doing that for code enforcement is they're working on stuff sometimes from 2023. And I think there's one open from 2022. And so total, there are about 200.
Okay.
And you can see areas 1 and 3 are about the same. Keep in mind, one of these officers is also the manager, so they don't spend all their time out in the field. It's a mixture. Area 2, with all that land surrounding Nampa, is the most active area. And I will say the previous officer in that area was going around opening a lot of proactive stuff. And so we're going to bulk reassign his stuff to our new officer, but there's 87 in that area. And he has been bringing a lot more conks to you lately, the certificate of noncompliance. And so he's going through that officer's cases from before that's no longer with the county, and he's really trying to get through them and see where they're at. And this person has a ton of experience, so they've taken off, one of our new employees. So I look at the workload here and the drive time, especially on Area 3.
Right.
And I'm just, you know, it's a mountain of work at the end of the day, and it's a lot of time. And usually these officers will come into the office at least once a week from a paperwork perspective and get caught up on that as well. But with these, we've got to track through when things are referred to PA, things of that nature. Abatement cases are a whole other monster. So just wanted to show you their workload and give you an idea of the areas plus the workload here. So back to the book report folder there. Page 16 is our revenue comparison year over year. You can see this month up to date and the differences from 25 to 24. Overall, we're up about $444,000 from this time last year. The last page tells you, just tracking that in a chart form, you can see we peaked in a difference in August, and the difference is starting to go down. And my opinion on that is in 2024, we were a little more active overall at this time last year.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference is kind of closing as we get through the end of the year there on a monthly basis. With that, just a quick update on staffing. We are in search of an associate planner right now. So that's going to be advertised very shortly. We've been working with HR on that to get that advertised ASAP. And Dan's working with them on that. I think that's all I've got for today.
So how does it feel cyclic? Are we somewhat where we would have been at this time period in several of the years back? Or do you see a trend moving one way or another?
Okay, the trend overall, and I don't have that with me, I apologize, but when I look at multiple years, I think I went back to 2015 just from a pure revenue and expenses perspective. Revenue is going up, expenses are up as well.
Right.
We're not at a break-even point by any stretch of the imagination. Expenses have gone up a little out of pace of revenue.
Right.
I think one thing that you see this past year, at least since April, is we're getting new applications as opposed to we had the backlog for a number of years and folks afraid to put an application in because, God, they're not going to get to me for 2 years. So
right.
Now that we're actively solving that problem.
You're creating a new problem.
We're creating new work.
So very clearly on the record, even though this shows on page 7 or 16 that there's a difference of income coming in, we're still not breaking even. So for all of those people say, oh, we're overburdening, this is a pay-to-play Department of County Government. If you don't want to build something new or change something and you're not coming in for an application, there's not a dime out of your pocket. But if you are, we are attempting to get closer to you paying for what it's costing us to provide that service. And so, yes, we're up. No, we're not meeting expenses. But we're trying slowly to bring that more in line.
When we adopted the, in March, adopted the new fee schedule, I mean, it was a drastic increase in a lot of different applications and work that we do. And as promised, we'll be back. We'll evaluate this past year, calendar year, and then we'll talk to you about what we need to do, if we need to adjust our fees, increase or decrease in certain areas or what have you. We'll be back at the end of the year talking about that so we can get the fee schedule updated if necessary by budget time.
Yeah. All right. Any questions for Josh?
I don't have any, Chairman. Thank you, Josh.
You're welcome.
I have a specific question, and this is not a statistical question. It's just your impression of the numbers. Of the 78 active cases, are some of those going to be resolved by a newer, more experienced person in there and looking at some of those cases that were chosen to be taken on rather than people that were in dire need and complaint of their neighbor?
Chairman, the way I would phrase that actually is the last person in that area wasn't efficiently going through the process. So this new officer is saying, where are we at? What do we actually need to do right now? And following the process. That's why he's making very rapid progress. So whether it was proactive or not, we have to follow it through to its natural conclusion. And then there's old stuff in there that I went through a lot of these where they went back to 2022 or older, and I'm like, I can't tell which way is up right now. So we may have to look at those and just make a judgment call.
Right.
But the proactive ones, they were probably legitimate violations, but if you don't follow up on them, where does that leave you?
Right, yeah.
And where I might draw a line in the sand is, if we're not hearing from a reporting party and somebody hasn't been out there in multiple months or up to a year, like, what do we do with that at the end of the day?
Right.
So.
Okay.
They need to look at on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. Okay. All right. Anything else on the report?
I don't have anything, Chairman.
Okay. What's next?
You want to provide a little bit of update, the status of the admin division?
Oh, yes. So we're going through, I would say the core of the admin land division from a code writing perspective is going well. We just started tackling non-viable this Monday. And that's, it's going to be a judgment call by the board, honestly, which way to go.
Mm-hmm.
We've also talked to an aerial spray company. And that was very informative, because as these come out, it starts to create issues with aerial spraying, because they do have laws. I mean, they can't buzz bomb your house, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start narrowing their flight path, they're having to do these kind of labyrinthian paths through to get crop sprayed. So that's one concern.
Why can't we do an overlay zone for them? Creates arterials into the areas that they're spraying.
I'm not sure we couldn't do that.
Then let's look at doing that, because they're dealing with guidelines and stuff that are not necessarily looking at the most efficient thing. They're only looking at what they're looking at. We could provide a path that we can organize with them to make everything more efficient.
And Chairman, can I comment on that? Several years ago, it's the Amons who are crop duster fly on, and they're out in that Hat Butte area. Okay.
That's who we talked to.
Okay. And with that, what's difficult, I'm not saying your idea isn't a good idea, but I'm not a crop duster. I have no desire to be a crop duster, but it is the amount of approved subdivisions in proximity to an airstrip that is in direct conflict. So we hear a lot of testimony, we heard it yesterday, that ag and residential can peacefully coexist. And maybe there are some exceptions that work, but by and large, when that's allowed, you're going to shut down an area of ag because of the impact on the surrounding proximity for residential development that will change the flavor and the ability for ag producers to operate. That is happening everywhere in Kenyon County. I'm not saying we should have it all be ag. I'm saying they moved to that area intentionally. They built an airstrip, and now they don't fly out of there anymore. That airstrip is no longer being used.
Overall on the schedule, Chairman, Commissioners, what I really want to communicate to you is I want to get an ordinance in front of you by the end of the year. I don't see that happening. What I would say now is we'll have code in front of you in a workshop format.
Okay.
Where there's no decision. And the concept there is I'd like to get it to you a couple weeks ahead of time so you have time to read and digest, then we can have a more useful workshop.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And then, Chairman, was your intent to invite aerial applicators to come and provide a perspective? Or
at
just
the workshop?
Yes.
That was not my intent.
Okay.
I think that we can contact them independently and get it's not rocket science. It's just scoping out a route to the areas of large scale ag. There's a difference between fixed wing and helicopter, and so there are two different products and two different availabilities of aerial applications. And now we have a third, which is drones.
Correct.
And so it's just what was once a simple subject has gotten a little bit complex.
Sounds like a good workshop.
Yeah. So I'm not saying not invite the public. I'm just saying that we'll have to do some of the research intentionally with some of them, because just to hope that we have a public hearing and all of the parties involved shows up and knows how to effectively communicate may not be our best bet.
Chairman, the notice process that we are going to do is everybody we sent an email or a contact out to originally for the public workshop we did, and anybody that's contacted us or we've met with since then. So they would be on that list, because just dumping this in the paper and hoping for the best, that's obviously not right. And then probably a public, what do you call that, what Aaron does, where he... Yeah, public announcement through our social media and such, and through the press.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. That sounds
Chairman,
good. Yes.
I have a question, if we could go back to the report.
Absolutely.
Since we got a map also. Page 15.
Yes.
Going over code enforcement.
Yeah.
How much of this stuff is proactive versus neighbors calling things in, since you also mentioned the proactive part? Like,
Chairman, Commissioner Brooks, I don't believe I've got a way to do a report like that in our permitting system.
Okay.
I'd have to, I think, manually get in there. I could talk to IT about getting that. It's possible. I just don't think we have a report right now. It's just, it would have to be a help desk request.
Part of the question stems from, I think, at least a couple of emails now that have come in that was a little more of a proactive deal that I'd probably like to discuss.
Okay.
Maybe
discuss at the moment or discuss?
I don't know.
My concern is that it has a great potential of pending or possible litigation, and saying some of the things of concern is better done with legal counsel in an executive session. So that'd be my recommendation.
Chairman,
I'm not trying to curtail your discussion whatsoever.
No, I'm hesitant because I don't know if it's appropriate for the public record, if it's best to have it like you just said. So,
well,
I'm completely okay with it. I just want to step gently.
Legal counsel's in the room, so if we have this wrong and we go into executive session and it should be in the public sphere, they will counsel us that, and we will adjourn the executive session, come out, discuss it in the public sphere.
I'm in favor of that.
Okay. All right.
Are you ready for executive session then, Chairman?
Sure.
Chairman, I move that the board adjourns to executive session under Idaho Code 742061, subsection D, for records exempt and apt to communicate with our legal counsel regarding pending or likely litigation.
On land use.
I'll second.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded. What say you, Commissioner Bindi?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Holton is yes. Motion carries unanimously. Let's consider ourselves recessed to executive session.